Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Sorry about that.
Yes, yeah, sorry. Yeah. My apologies. Mm. So, yeah. I mean, I think what we would require more than anything else is to have the people who are involved in the police and the people, the medical people,
yeah,
provide a bit more information about what they are seeing there. Is it that people are drinking too much and falling asleep at the wheel? Is it
has to be attributed more, to something.
Are we having more freak accidents than before? I don't know. It needs more careful analysis.
Another one coupled with this is like I saw a picture in the paper recently. My take has always been this, Mr. Ellis. When I see a car, any vehicle with the mangled metal, pray tell me, you could be driving at 30, 35 in a Corley proper way, and you ended up with twist and torn off top, the hood up the road and the bonnet down the street and all this. And you're telling me that you're driving at a respectable 40, 35, 40. If you even got a fender bang, a hit or something, you can have that kind of mangled metal. That mangled metal is indicative, in my estimation, to high speed. And when you hit, the impact is so severe, it tears and twists and torques the metal and bend it up. You can't be having that kind of metal at no 30. Are you content that? I've been driving for some time. You've been driving on the road. The common sense would dictate it cannot be you driving at no 30, 35. And Mr. Siebert Johnson, Sergeant Siebert Johnson, is doing remarkably well. And Mr. Johnson and all experts are trying to tell people, look, the problem in Barbados really is this speed thing. Speed is it. It needs to be narrowed down and kept under control. You bring down speed, you'll be amazed at the result to be derived from doing such. Mr. Roland Boyne, everybody, the bottom line, campaign against speed, sir.
All right, sir.
Thank you for your efforts, man.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks, hello. Good morning. You're on the air. This person says there's a new fee for garbage collection starting at the end of August. Well, you know, it's starting in August. Does this mean we return to twice a week garbage collection, or will it be once a week? What kind of trucks and how many will be bought with these funds? What will be the maintenance plan for these trucks? What training will be given to SSA workers for two new trucks? I saw a worker place a metal to embed spring frame into one of the trucks along with regular garbage. Do these kinds of things not decrease the life of these very expensive trucks? What will happen to the private haulers' contracts for garbage collection that happens right now? Interesting questions. I think that we have had a lot of general discussion about what needs to be done in Barbados, but now you have to get down into the nitty-gritty. One of the most interesting parts of this is how are these statutory corporations going to be structured? How are they going to respond to the requirement that they become more cost effective and cost efficient, and that they are more capable of running things on their own rather than turning to the government? Here is one that you need to look at. Caves of Barbados Limited is responsible for managing Harrison's Cave. It is mandated to ensure the sustainable development, promotion, and display of the National Caves of Barbados for the economic benefit of the people of Barbados while providing a high-quality experience for recreational and educational enjoyment of all patrons. In the financial year 2018-2019, a total of $8.7 million was approved by Parliament for this entity, of which $3.05 million will go towards wages and NIS, and $446,653, nearly $447,000, will go towards pensions. This entity, Caves of Barbados, has outstanding debt totaling approximately $29 million. This is down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
My contribution this morning is a thank you, and I want to say a reminder to householders. Now, that the first goes to the fire service, Shop Hill, to the branch in St. Thomas. Now, I stepped out of bed last Thursday morning, and I stepped into a pool of water ankle deep. Now, that, when I came out, that had gone all over the house, and I couldn't think about anybody else to call beside the fire service. They responded with alacrity, and they bailed out the water for me. Now, I want to say thanks very much to them, but I also must say also thanks to the 511, the police department. Only thing about it is, I think they stayed a bit too long to answer the phone in the morning. And if you're supposed to be on duty, you're supposed to be more alert. But they did turn out to be very helpful, because by the time they gave me the number to Arch Hall, I was called talking to the guy, and he said to me, hold a minute. And when he answered, it was this person from control telling them that this person had called and help and so on. And the guy said, okay, she's on the line to us now. But I want them to be more alert when they're on duty at night. Now, I also want to have people do this thing to me. You get a marker, not a ballpoint pen, a marker, and write these numbers on a contrasting color and place these notes at strategic points around the house. Because when I got up that morning, I could not remember any emergency number. The first number that came to me was 119. Then somebody said, you idiot, that's gone long ago. So then 531 came to me, and they were able to direct me. So I would like people to, instead of waiting until you come to an emergency and you can't think, just place these numbers just anywhere around where you know that you'll need them, and they will be there standing upright even if the light is off.
Okay, thank you very
much. Thank you very much. Bye.
NBC, CNBC is reporting that China is preparing to retaliate in the escalating trade war with the United States with tariffs on about $60 billion worth of U.S. goods. $60 billion worth of U.S. goods. The import taxes would range in rates from 5% to 25%, and this has been stated by the Chinese government. And China has also said in a statement that any unilateral threat or blackmail will only lead to intensification of conflicts and damage to the interests of all parties. This is down to brass tacks. Hello? You're on the
good
air.
Good morning.
You're on the air. Turn your radio down.
Good morning, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, good morning.
This is Adrian Donovan calling.
Yes, Mr. Donovan. People have been saying they haven't heard your voice since the change of government. But I suspect you might have been speaking since then, but they weren't hearing. So the very fact that you are calling this morning puts me in a position to ask you the question that they wanted me to ask you all along. Where is Hockey Donovan?
He has been here for a very long time, and he's going over here.
You see, get put on a board. And
yes,
having been
man,
put on a board, that like they cut your tongue.
No, man, nobody can't cut my tongue.
So what's been happening? Tell me, May 24th, what has happened?
But let me go back first. I called on three previous occasions after the election. I spoke with Sanger Price and Mr. Johnson. I gave them updating situation. But people, they want me to call every other day.
No, they say they want you to call with the same frequency that you were calling before May 24th.
But I've been repeating myself.
but that's exactly what you were doing before, they will tell you.
No, absolutely not. When I was calling every other day, there was a new area of seepage.
Oh, I see.
But yes, there was always something new to report on. But I can tell you now that the situation has been under control for some time. There's no seepage anywhere on the streets. I know for sure last night and the last two nights they were doing extensive work at the bottom of the Graham Hall Sanctuary.
Well, man, tell me, a few days ago, the bank holiday, how much worse the situation is, that there's a lot of stuff going into the Graham Hall swamp, and when you pull up the sluice gate, you can see it and that sort of thing. Is that true?
No, man. The sluice gate has been open quite often.
So I could describe it as DLP propaganda from that fella?
Well, I don't know. Just a false news.
Oh, fake news.
The same like Donald Trump.
Fake news.
Fake news. Yeah, that's a Donald Trump move.
Yeah, so talk to me about how it has improved for the residents, because you were speaking on behalf of the residents all this time.
That's right. And all of you were asking the last administration for over 2.5 years, David, was to come and have some meeting with us and let us know the situation. I want to report to you today and the country, we've been very fortunate since this new administration to have a meeting with the new minister and with the residents.
When was that?
And his ex. This was held last week. As a house of one residence.
Yeah. How many people turned up for it?
About 40, is it between 40 and 50.
Yeah. And what did you learn?
Well, that the situation is being taken very seriously. Money has been approved in cabinet. We saw who live in the area. Extended work has started. And I also have to report to you that while there's no sewage at all on the streets, there's still some smell in the area of the swamp.
Mm-hmm.
And that is where some of the sewage now is going into the swamp, I think, and as also in the injection wells. So the smell in the area there by the bottom of the sewage gate.
So is that new? Pregnant. Is that development new? That the sewage is going into the swamp?
It's not new. I think more is going in there right now.
More is going in now. So that will remain a major concern until this whole matter is properly resolved. In the meantime, they were supposed to be digging to find out exactly what was happening under the earth. What has happened to that?
Well, my reports tell me that is in progress. As I said, the last two nights there'll be massive work all during the morning with heavy duty trucks and septic tanks in that particular location. And so there's a lot of work going on over the area of the South Gate.
My question is, why are they not reporting to the public exactly what progress is being made with a greater degree of frequency? This is not an issue that relates only to the residents of that area. All Barbados is interested in what is happening. And I get a sense, though, that there has been a reduction in the number of reports to the public. Am I correct?
Yes, I agree. Yes, you are correct. When they first started, we were hearing something very often. My understanding is that they don't want to come out now. They're expecting a big announcement. I don't know what this will be or when it will come. But in the meantime, I believe they should come and let us know that the extent of the work is actually going on. But I also have a report, too, that when we say that, I still have concern for those businesses that have been closed and affected. There's one particular restaurant called The Stream, which is located next to the entrance of the Graham Hall Sanctuary, which has been closed now for a couple of months. They have been severely affected. They have literally been shut down. I'm really concerned about that. And then also the gas station in front, KFC, Number Lanterns Mall, SO, that has been closed since December. I don't know if they decided to enter, close the gas station permanently. I've heard the staff has been transferred, but those two operations are of a major concern.
Okay.
On the other hand, I don't even know if Chicken Barn has reopened and the air condition. And to give you a total summary of the situation, although there has been a great improvement, there's still a reduction of about 20% across the length and breadth of the South Coast. Business activity has not picked up that much. So the Beijians are still not fully convinced that
that's safe to be down there.
So, of course. Yes. So I think it's going to take a little more time.
Just avoiding it.
Yes, but I really don't want to leave, David, before reading the Nation newspaper and seeing that the former minister mentioned my name in his article claiming that I may have been muted.
Another way of putting it, can't cut your tongue, put you up on the board and you can't talk no more.
But you believe that I met that gentleman sometime back in the supermarket before the election, and we had a discussion about the sewage, and he told me that it was being handled very badly. He didn't like what was going on, and he felt that his administration was doing a poor job. And then today, you know, he says something totally different. I just want to say that if it was Mr. Ennis, I would prefer to remain silent. Keep it quiet. Because for 2.5 years, I have not heard him at all make a comment concerning this particular crisis. He may have made something on the political platform. But to address this particular issue and to give his personal feelings to the public, he was missing. He was missing in action. So to come now at this point, when he was sadly lacking in his administration, we're really lagging behind time. You know, no. It's only if there's an episode from Make Me Laugh, you know? And the other point I want to also mention is while this work is going on now, I would really appreciate that the Ministry of Education do an entire cleanup now of the St. Lawrence School area. As the school is on vacation, I hope that when the school reopens in September, the facility will be greatly sanitized. Classrooms, playing area, the whole back of the school, which right now the water is not flowing. Fish, obviously, suffering from a fish kill. So that is my suggestion to the Ministry of Education right now.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Clearly, it was Mr. Ennis who drew you out of your lair so that you would be in a position to give us an update today. Don't wait for Mr. Ennis to come after you in that way so that we can hear more of what is happening. But more than anything else, I don't know what's happened to the public relations section of the Barbados Water Authority in recent times, but I would just say that there is a need for people like you to impress upon them the importance of just letting Barbadians know what is going on with a greater degree of frequency than has been the case in recent weeks. Okay?
Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Talking about the challenges faced in this country because of the economic situation, you would have heard the governor of the central bank speak yesterday, saying that Barbados is looking for an extended fund facility from the International Monetary Fund. And he did, in his press conference, speak a bit too about the challenges that the statutory corporations are going to face. Here's the transport board situation. In 2018-2019, they got a total of $22.22 million approved by Parliament. Of that $21.82 million going to wages and NIS, $1.75 million going towards pensions, and an additional $43.2 million will be needed to cover wages and NIS. This entity has outstanding debt totaling approximately $65.2 million and accumulated arrears of $85.7 million. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning. Mr. Ellis?
Yes, yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I just want to mention something about the journalism issue, right?
Yes. Yeah.
A few years ago, I was approached by an old schoolmate that is a journalist, and she said to me she wanted to have a feature on me and featuring a story concerning me. Now, I said to her, I don't mind you doing this article, but my one request is that you would allow me to read what it is you are going to print before you print it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, she approached me. I didn't go to her.
Yes.
And she gave me her... She assured me that, yes, she would allow me to read what she would print before it was printed. However, we did the interview, and lo and behold, big for the paper. Big story.
And what happened? What it said that you didn't agree with?
I told her I wanted to read what she was going to print before she printed it.
Yeah.
No, I didn't approach her. She approached me. And she printed the story. And when I read the story, to be honest, there was one thing in this thing that spoiled the whole feature. And on top of that, this technology is so high, is that there was a photographer in the room, and I had no idea this man was taking pictures of me. I saw about 12 pictures. No, I don't want to lie. Let me say seven. Seven pictures of me scattered, because it was a big article, scattered, Mr. Ellis, across the paper. You hear what I tell you? So, it's okay to say that journalists have their rights, but the same CNN News, the same Anderson Cooper, you know, I mean, I'm not a fan of CNN either. You know, he says you cannot parachute in and out of people's lives, and Barbados is a very small society. And when you go out there and you print stories of people, they're getting money, they ain't getting nothing from it. And then you're going to print something that's going to tarnish, it's not necessarily my reputation, but made me come across as an idiot. You know? So from that perspective, I think people have to understand that not because it's a small society that people always want everything printed, you know. And if you give me your word, you know, let it be that. Let it be that what you say is what you will stand by. You get where I'm coming from?
I agree with you, because it's a small society, but even in big societies, they are broken down into smaller groups of people who have to come into contact with each other on a regular basis. Did you speak to her after the article was published?
Well, I spoke to her and she apologized. And then since then, I would have said to her I wanted an apology.
You mean that you wanted it publicly published?
Yeah, I acknowledged that. You know, she had given me a word that she would not have printed it except she had given me, allowed me to see it. But then on top of that, she asked me if I wanted her to do another article. I said no, because, you know, I listened to a psychologist say one time, people are likely to repeat their behavior. If they do something one time, they're likely to do it again. And the girl is my friend, you know. I don't have no animosity against her, but, you know, just...
Let me put it to you this way.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of what we do in life is about building relationships. It, to me, makes no sense
mm-hmm.
burning a bridge
mm-hmm.
for no good reason.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you can find yourself in a situation where you have done a piece on somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There is something in that piece that is potentially controversial. You recognize that there is a value attached to it because there may be a difference of opinion between you and the person that you've interviewed
mm-hmm.
about this particular section here.
Mm-hmm.
In my judgment, I think it is the human side of a person.
Mm-hmm.
It shows a dimension that you might not normally have seen portrayed.
Mm-hmm.
And you say, look, I think this is crucial to the whole story.
Mm-hmm.
And that other person may say, but, you know, in retrospect, I don't think I want it published.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that out there. So you have that kind of difference of opinion. And you have to make a decision there and then
mm-hmm.
about this question.
Mm-hmm.
What does it do to the relationship? Because today, it's about that story or that situation. But that same person can be in a stronger position tomorrow.
Did you say that same person, the journalist or the person being...
The same person who's been interviewed.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so the journalist has to make that judgment call. And I think in most instances, what you want to do is to have an environment where you can communicate with that person another day. All right? No.
But my thing is that if I give you my word...
I agree with you. If the word has been given, you got to stick by that.
Anyway, and the thing is that, to me, I don't mean to be condescending, but to me, it is a common sense thing how she should have approached the article. I don't want to say what it was about.
Yeah.
But it was a matter of ethics. It was a matter of ethics and how you go about. And the thing is that when I... what to her sense then about the thing is that she's not a bad person, but it's almost like saying, okay, let's just deal with it by doing another article. How can I guarantee, after you gave me your word on one occasion, that you're going to keep your word another time?
Well, you know, this question that you've raised about the ethics of behavior in journalism is something that we really need to look at it, because, look, there are other people, doctors, for instance. They have seminars on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
One of my best friends is involved on a regular basis in an exercise where you go and you look at a case,
mm-hmm.
and you discuss the ethics of this case.
Mm-hmm.
In journalism, you get trained in journalism these days, and that's it. You know, the rest is up to you. The whole question of having that kind of reinforcement of what is the practice and how things are changing and that sort of thing is something that we need to pay a bit more attention to overall. Because the truth of the matter is that the whole industry has gone to the point, somebody was raising the question earlier about social media and its impact,
mm-hmm.
but downsizing and right-sizing, they have also had an impact on the industry. And it means that in many instances, you are like you're running on a treadmill,
mm-hmm.
and trying to find that space to be able to do these other things sometimes can be very, very challenging in the media. And in my own judgment, my own assessment is that the media is suffering significantly because of the inability to do those things. I mean, it is... You have so many lectures, for instance, that take place. Lectures are coming at us now on YouTube. But to find the time sometimes to just go through that process.
And listening to YouTube can be very toxic. It kind of drains your energy.
Well, it depends. And you have people who are doing... Take the Central Bank News Conference.
Mm-hmm.
I think every one of us practicing what we do got to spend some time and listen to the whole news conference,
yeah.
even if we haven't been there.
Mm-hmm.
We got to know what is being said.
Mm-hmm.
So it is when at the end of the day a person said, boy, I'm so tired. I can't spend those 2 minutes, or I can't go sleep early and wake up very early and spend 45 minutes or an hour to listen to this. So that is what is required. It's mm-hmm. part of the commitment.
Yes.
To your main point is you got a commitment that the article was going to be sent to you so you could vet it. There are journalists who believe that when they write something, they shouldn't send it back to anybody to be vetted. I feel that it is safer ground in keeping the relationship. And then if you have a difference of opinion
mm-hmm.
on something that was said in the article, then work out that difference of opinion rather than taking it upon yourself to unilaterally decide, well, that's it, and then have the person offended,
mm-hmm.
as you were offended by what happened.
I was hurt. I didn't quarrel with her, or, you know, I just, and she apologized, but then a good time later, and it was still on my mind. And then there was another school friend I went to school with, and she wrote an article about me using a pseudonym. And again, but then false information.
As a consequence of that?
No, before, I think that was before, that was other than that, you know?
Okay.
And I am like, why people, because I am poor, because if I was a rich person, I would have had some lawyer, you know.
You were that offended and hurt?
Huh?
It was that bad?
It was that bad. False information.
Okay.
You know? But
things go, let me put it another way. You know, sometimes things can go wrong. The critical issue is how do you work with each other to get over that particular hurdle? But there are times when, with the best of intentions, somebody can get it wrong. It's not because they deliberately set out to hurt you.
That's what I'm saying, the girl. I don't think she would have, but if you say to me...
It's a commitment. I agree with you. If you made a promise to send the information back to you...
I'm going to let you look at this.
Agree.
Before. I don't think I emailed that. I've been so...
That was a long time ago then.
A while back.
All right. You know. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, sir.
Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Hello. Mr. Ellis?
Yes, sir.
A blessed day to you, sir.
And to you, too. Happy you crop over.
Thank you very much. I trust that the weekend, this weekend, will be a beautiful one for you and the station and your family, huh?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, because we need to have all of the best that we can possibly get at this time. I mean, at any time. You know? Yeah. Ms. Ellis, I was speaking to Mr. Johnson the other day, I think it was Monday, and I was trying to get over, I did mention two things, but I was only able to get over one because I think he had to go to somebody else or something like that. It concerned the Senate on Monday. The Senate met on Monday, huh? And I did mention to him the one with Mr. The gentleman that had the union.
You mean Caswell Franklin?
Right. I did mention that one with him, so I wouldn't go over that one now. But the other one that I wanted to speak about is that I did say then, and I will say this one again, that I would like to ask Barbadians, as many as possible, to pay some attention and listen to the debates in the Senate, because I think you get a balanced view from debates in the House, seeing that we have seven independent, two opposition. Anyway, what I want to say is this. I think that it was, in my view, disrespectful to the House, the lower House, the Senate that is, and to Barbadians. The government is advertising or having the Waterworks Department advertise that the tax will be taking place from the 1st of August. That is the $45 on the that is added to the bill, the water bill, that is.
Mm-hmm.
I, Ms. Ellis, those ads has been going for I don't know how long. And you are having, for the first time, the bill to pass the law to be debated on Monday. On Wednesday was the first. You do not know, and it was proven in the House on Monday, that the bill had flaws in it that would have to have been rectified or be looked at. Because, you know, we got 29 persons in the lower House, and that bill, a lot of them would not have seen it or would choose not to see it if they did, or would have no objection against the bill because it's a government bill. And I heard one of the senators, the lady, I believe that she's a lawyer. I'm not sure if that was Mr. Tate's daughter or who. But
yeah,
she was the one
who protested against it.
Right. But Ms. Ellis, you can imagine that she said she got that bill on Saturday because then the clerk or somebody at the House was kind enough to, I don't know if she had went there for it or they came and gave her a what, on Saturday. Now, Saturday is not a day for the Senate. Sunday isn't. Monday was. And you are running an ad, which means that you are taking the House for granted and Barbadians for granted. This is rub. I call this rub. Really disrespectful to our people and to the House. And the ad is for the first, Mr. Ellis, for Monday, for Wednesday. Huh? And the bill had flaws in it. I mean, how in God's name could a responsible government who respect its people and respect the law would do something like that? Mr. Teddy Gospel, you really believe that this country should be treated that way? I mean...